Welcome to In Conversation With from Devon Chamber. Supported by Westcott's Chartered Accountants and Business Advisors. Presented by Stuart Elford. Recorded at Fresh Air Studios in Plymouth.
Hello there, I'm Stuart Elford, Chief Executive of Devon Chamber of Commerce, and welcome to another edition of our In Conversation With podcast. So we have three milestones today, actually, on this podcast. The first is that this is the first one I'm recording as Devon Chamber, following our merger with Exeter Chamber. So that's very exciting. In our studio, we have all our new branding around us. The second is mentioning the studio, that this is the first time I've recorded in Fresh Air's new studios. Very, very exciting. Very, very posh, I have to say. Thank you to Fresh Air for hosting us, and of course to Westcott's Chartered Accountants and Business Advisors who support this podcast, without whom we couldn't transmit to you. And finally, my third milestone is I think my guest is the first person I've interviewed twice. So welcome to In Conversation With, Jabo Butera.
Hello, I'm feeling like clapping my hands.
Yeah, woo-hoo.
It was like a clapping hands from the one, for the second and third one.
Welcome.
So oh, thank you.
You very kindly come back in to talk about a couple of things. One is Black History Month, which we'll come on to in a moment.
Yes.
But the second is about the riots that were not that long ago.
Yeah.
So I kind of wanted to ask you about those things, but I sort of start off, could you give our listeners a sort of potted history of how you came to Plymouth and how you set up Diversity Business Incubator?
Yes, gladly to do that. As you mentioned, I'm Jabo Butera, and sometimes people ask me who I am, and I normally start answering by I'm a human being to start with. That's where I start with. And then what is more important, next one, I am a father to children who look up to me. So I have a lot of responsibility. That's my first responsibilities. And then the rest of the world as well, where you have the society we live in. So I try to be a positive contributor to the society I live in. Mm-hmm. Born in Central Africa.
Rwanda, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was born in Congo. I was born already as a refugee.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, my parents were a refugee in Congo because Rwanda were not welcomed at that time, and then came back to Rwanda in 1992, and then I came to England after that. So my journey has been just like being on mess places where I'm not feeling welcomed.
Right.
Many reasons, political or greediness of human being. Mm. So end up in cutting short the journey in this side of the world, particularly in Plymouth. This is about 10 years ago.
Okay.
I used to live in Yorkshire, right. Sheffield. Uh-huh. I moved to Plymouth, and I was walking on the main high street, and I was like all excited. Nice place, beautiful view, and the sea, and I could feel. I was excited about the nature and everything, and I could not find black people on the street. No. There were just very few of them. And whoever I was talking to, they were a bit shy to say what they do, because I was excited. I'm new in the city. I want to know what to do. What can I contribute? Yeah. Because in Yorkshire, I was very active. And I'm always on that entrepreneurial mindset. So I was like, what to do? What to do? And I've realized there was no many black people black or brown people who were like role models, and who I can say, this is what you're doing. Can I see what you're doing? Can I copy? Can I contribute? Mm. And I thought it's needed to create something. That's how we started Diversity Business Incubator.
And what is the purpose of...
So the one is supporting the income generator or entrepreneurship mindset in these communities to create more role models. By me walking on the street and I could not find those role models, my mind was like, my children going to grow up here.
Right.
Because this was among the reason why we've done the South here, to have a peaceful place to bring up children. And I was like, I'm going to need role models. And as you know, angels from home don't do miracles. So I knew I'm the ultimate role models to my children, but they'll be more influenced by other people around who look like me or who are in my circle. And I could not find that circle. So I had to create it. So that's the purpose. It's create entrepreneurship where you've got to have an income generator, reducing poverty in these communities.
Just before I ask my next question, somebody said to me the other day, and forgive me if this is in any way offensive, that the title, the term BAME is no longer acceptable, that you have to talk about ethnic communities, not BAME. Is that correct? I don't want to say the wrong
thing. No, that's all right. That's all right. And I think that's the right things to do, always ask. It's not the root cause. So for some people, they might finding it offensive. I don't.
Mm.
I'll tell you why the reason, because it's not the terminology. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's how you make the person feeling.
Yeah.
It's the intention behind what you're saying.
Right.
I can use the terminology. You think it's the good terminology, but what's the intention behind?
Mm.
So the terminologies are not a problem. There shouldn't be a problem, and there shouldn't be even a conversation, because it becomes destructive. And when you meet with this, this has been going for many years. I'm not going to introduce myself. I am ethnic, a minority. I am ethnically, I'm a black person. I am. That's what I've been all these years and proud of.
Yeah,
so why should I start changing the terminology and fighting on those terminologies? So that it become a distraction. The big challenge is when you're making that person little, you know, the belittling.
Yes.
That's the thing.
Which happens with labels, doesn't it?
And yes.
And one of my favorite quotes was Soren Kierkegaard said, to label me is to negate me. So I once was introduced as, literally, they said, this is Stuart, he's just a police officer.
Exactly.
I'm not just anything, I'm a very connected human being.
Exactly.
If I introduced you as Jabbo, just a black person,
you'd
punch me quite rightly, I should think, you know. So it's about the intent.
Yes.
So what are the biggest challenges you've faced as an entrepreneur of African descent, and how did you overcome those?
Well, there are many challenges. The big challenge, I think, is that we've individuated themselves. So when you have these barriers or anything which is stopping yourself, seeing yourself achieving anything, because for years, for generation, you've been trained or the society has made you feel that way. So that's when we come to the racism and the systemic racism, when the system has always made you feel like you do not have the capacity of going to places. So I'll give you an example. I walked in a place, that was when I was in London. I walked into a place it was a financial institution. We just won the contract to clean in that place. And as I walked, the security guard said, no, you enter from the other side.
No.
Because I'm a black person, so I cannot enter through the main door. That's how the system sees you already.
That is outrageous.
When you see the report with the police, the stop and search, there's a massive number of the big disparity between how black people are treated compared to their white counterpart. Mm. I've seen it even here in Plymouth. My boys have been stopped because they're driving a car. Mm. I'll lend them my car and it won't take half an hour.
Mm.
The police will pull them.
Really?
But when they're in the other car with their white friends, they've never been stopped.
Right.
So it starts, the system has made you feel all the time, this is what is going to happen next. So the first challenge is about how do you come out of that thinking and knowing you are capable, you are able, you are a human being like everyone else, and you have capacity like everyone else and potentials. That's the first challenge.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you there, but I suppose there's some of this is that what they call unconscious bias, isn't it? I wonder if you spoke to the police officers who stopped your friends, whether they would have recognised that they'd stopped them for that reason, or is it just our inbuilt prejudices rushing to the front of their head that made them think it's not usual to see a black person in a nice car?
It's two ways, I was saying. It's starting with you as a black person to start with. So the narrative which was on the street here when I came, if you're driving a Range Rover and you're a black person, you're either a footballer or a drug dealer. You cannot be anything else.
Yeah.
And when you grew up with that understanding, so when the police stops you, because you're already frustrated, you are undoing yourself in your mind saying, why I am being stopped? Two, you know, you have this defensive mechanism going on. So your reaction going to be a bit more kind of like aggressive in terms of, why are you stopping me? But you start explaining yourself, and suddenly you're in that position of defending.
It becomes confrontational,
yes,
doesn't it, from the start.
And the police officer have heard that, that bias has been there for a long time.
Mm.
That's you hear the terminology come, angry black man, angry black woman.
Mm.
And that dynamic happen. So the society we would love to have is the society where there's a celebration. Forget about those dynamic of confrontation all the time. It can be a genuine mistake or just get a conversation.
I do recall many years ago stopping a car. When I was in the police service, I stopped a car. It was the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And the driver said to me, "You've only stopped me because I'm black." And, mm-hmm. I remember thinking, I didn't know what colour you were. It was completely pitch dark out.
Yeah.
They were driving a car with a tail light out in an odd place at an odd time in the morning.
Yeah.
But I remember being sort of reeling back because the aggression it seemed yes. came from them. But I understand now that is a reaction to what they perceive as aggression.
So the system has generated them becoming like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then suddenly you're forgetting about the conversation of why it stopped you. Now you're becoming on saying, "No, I didn't. I stopped you because ABC." Did the other one say, "No, it's because I'm black"? No one will understand each other. Instead of saying, "Well, I understand where you come from, but my intention was not."
Mm.
The reason I stopped you, it's ABCD.
Mm.
The conversation will turn differently. But the society, or the way we've been seeing quite a lot of change, is that it wants a confrontation.
Mm.
And that's where we come to the case of the rioting.
Mm.
Two things which don't have anything in common. An incident happened, I think it was near Liverpool. Someone on social media put on wrong information to fuel up what already existed. And suddenly, down the south here, which is far away from Liverpool, people on the street shouting and expressing an anger towards any black person or any refugee. And we don't want refugees here. We don't have asylum seekers here. We don't have. So you see, from one action which was over there, because the system has built people into that element, the confrontation goes higher.
Yeah.
And suddenly you have a society where everyone is living on that confrontation, on fight. Yeah. You see, someone goes like, "Refugees are not welcome here." The other one saying, "Well, I contribute ABCD and my journey of life, this is the reason. I'm not doing it. But it's not like I'm just having fun to be a refugee."
No. So, absolutely.
The conversation continues shortly. But first, Stuart Elford and the Chamber of Secrets.
Hello there, and welcome to the section of the show, the very dramatically titled Stuart Elford's Chamber of Secrets, dum, 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 where we ask a guest from our podcast to delve into the box of questions that have been submitted by you, the listeners. And today I'm joined by the Lord Lieutenant of Devon, David Thurston. David, delve into the box.
Right. What a long one.
Oh, my.
What's the one thing no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
Oh my goodness, this could be interesting.
I got to play cricket against India.
Wow.
And I got 6 wickets in the first innings.
Now that is pretty cool. I'll give you that one. David Thurston, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Follow Devon Chamber on X at chamber_Devon and search for us on LinkedIn. Make sure you don't miss out on future episodes. Hit subscribe now. In Conversation With, supported by Westcott's Chartered Accountants and Business Advisors. Now, back to the conversation.
I don't think it's sad. I really feel like we are becoming quite polarised in society. And I think there's a lot of very disaffected people who are very angry generally.
Yeah.
And they find a way to vent their anger through ignorance, to be honest. I'm not in any way lessening their feelings or what they've done. I'm not trying to excuse it in any way. I'm just saying I think there are a lot of very angry young people. I was assaulted in the back lane at the back of my house by people who thought I was the previous occupant. And they thought I was gay.
Yeah.
And so it was a shocking and very odd experience to be picked on because of a characteristic. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a very complicated human being. I'm not any one thing.
Exactly. So that's why we're saying, first, you have to know who you are. Because what we have around the society and what is trending and exciting is polarizing.
Yes.
But once you know yourself, you realize it and you know how to not be in the category of those who are just being polarizing. And that's when you start talking about the belittling. We talk about the diversity and inclusion and harmony. Because when, for example, the case we're talking about being stopped by the police, as I've learned who I am, my first reaction never going to be, "See, you stopping because I'm black."
No.
Because I will understand and I'll see they're a human being.
So you see it as an opportunity.
They might have made a mistake, or there might be a reason for this. Mm. So I'm out of what the society wants me to be. But how do we educate? How do we get more people thinking this way? Mm. So that's when I see you, I see a human being first. Yeah. I don't see the director or the CEO of the chamber, because that's the difference again. Mm. People, when they introduce themselves, I am so-and-so, your title as what you do is different from who you are.
Yeah.
So if we talk about who you are first, and then what you have and your titles after, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, it's funny, I saw a clip on social media. I'm trying to think the actor who said it, but he said, people always ask you whether you've got a career, whether you're married, whether you've got a house.
Yeah.
They never ask you if you're happy.
Yeah.
He said, it's as if life is like a shopping list, a grocery list. Oh, I have to have the career. I have to have the title. I have to have this. I have to have that. But never mind all that. Are you happy? Are you know?
You're chasing something. I'm glad we have this conversation, and particularly this time of Black History.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're going to get to there, where we're talking about the Black History. Why Black History? For me, I see it's an opportunity of exchanging the culture. When you say being happy, and I'll say the difference. So you have the Western culture, mm-hmm. and then you have the African culture. You find, I think some researcher or someone posted it saying the place they found the happiest people in the world is a slum, this place where they dump all the electronic broken gadget mm-hmm. that come from West to, it's a big place in Nigeria. And then people go there and rummage in to mm-hmm. pick pieces. And they found that's the happiest people in the world where they are. So with the Western culture, it's more of the I, the me, and myself. The African culture is a community, we. When we speak, we tend to be saying we. And I saw this word, I'm changing as the years going. I used to say, we are this and that. And people go like, you and who?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
who's we?
Yeah, yes. Who's we? Because for me, I was brought up like, I'm not on my own. And when I turn up somewhere, I'm not on my own. I might own, be my own physically, but I represent more than this one. So my behavior is going to be a collective representation. And my strength is going to be a collective strength. Mm. So that when I turn in a place, even if I'm single, but I know I have a strength of the whole community, I'll stand tall. And my behavior is going to be, I represent a bigger number. So yeah. I represent my ancestors and I represent my future. So if I misbehave today, I'm going to find it ahead, or the next generation going to find it ahead. But if now I'm thinking on the singular place, I, me, myself, I'll behave the way I want because it's the now, me. Mm. And I won't realize that, but they're seeing me in the future. Two, my strength going to be the me, only you. It's not going to be strong enough. And as you're finding, that's why we have this big challenge of the environment problems.
Well, funny enough, I was going to mention that when you were speaking the night, it just flashed across my mind that the Native Americans talk about how the Western settlers talked about having rights. He said, we talk about having obligations. So they have rights over the land. The white people who came want rights over the land. And the Native Americans said, we have obligations to the land, to our ancestors, to our children.
Yes.
And I'm very struck by how our communities have so many failings in the West. So I was listening to someone the other day talking about how objectively, as people, we've never been so lucky and so well off. So we have hot showers, we have food with high calorific content, we're not starving, we have transport, we have holidays, we have TVs, we have all these things.
Yes. Yeah.
And yet, objectively, mental health issues have never been so high. We've never had people so, or sorry, subjectively, people have never been so unhappy.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing something wrong. And I think that's where this anger is coming from a lot of the time. And people are angry and they seek a vent for it. And where I think, you know, politicians like Trump, who I can't stand the man personally, but where he's very clever is he plays to emotion, not to truth, but to emotion, how people feel, and he whips up their feelings.
Yes.
So I feel like there's loads of immigrants taking our jobs. I feel like, you know, it doesn't mean it's true, but he plays on people's anger and feelings.
So he plays on the, I can say it's the, you have levels or steps. So if you're on the ground floor, on the emotion, the you'll be affected by that. But once you start thinking and start going a bit higher, when you start knowing who you are, you know the emotions are temporary.
Mm.
The emotion, they will come and go. And all of us, we have them. And but once you know, these are something which have been conditioned by the external. It's not you. Actually, emotions are conditioned by the external. It's not internally. It's either the weather, it's either the conflict of someone else, it's either someone cuts you off in the traffic light. So all those things affect your emotion, but you are not your emotions. Once you start understanding who you are as a human being, you climb a bit higher.
Yeah.
So whenever someone talks to you on an emotional level, you do not respond. Unfortunately, this world is having a lot of individuals who are responding to the emotional. Like you look at the people, how they buy online. You're scrolling, and before you realize, you're just letting your card go. You spend without thinking, because you're in emotional time. You've been affected by what you saw. TikTok shop is, it's going mad. It's kind of like closing the Amazon quickly, because they're playing on emotions. Every day people are just shopping on TikTok shop now. And you see someone wearing something nice, you look at them nice, but you didn't know how much of work they had to do. There's a lot of cameras, there's a lot of slimming, there's a lot of that. But you think, oh, I'm going to be looking like that. I'm going to be like that, and you purchase your emotions. You're on that level one of emotions. But our culture, that's a saying about the black history, our African culture and our black culture, you get a chance to learn how to understand who you are. That's the same when we say we, you think it's not you anymore. It's not only just about you. So every behavior is a collective behavior. Before I do the shopping, is this for me? Or how does it affect everyone else?
You're sort of, I think, starting to answer the question I was going to ask, which, again, please don't be offended. I'm just genuinely, it's a question I've heard other people ask. Why do we need Black History Month?
I think two or three things. One is to celebrate, because most of the time, what I've had as a history, there has been a lot of not celebratory. If you go back 15, 20 years, whenever you're talking about the Black history, what was coming in people's mind was slavery. It's not like because you're Black, you have to be associated with slavery. When you go to schools and every places, that's what they were talking about. And then when you start growing about 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, whenever you say Black history, they think about Martin Luther King. They think about Rosa Parks, revolution and fight and the conflict.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That was the tendency, to create again that division in the society.
Yeah.
As we're progressing, it's changing. It's about celebrating individuals in the positive way, because I'm more than just a Black person. So what you find is that lack of the celebration of that society. But as well, we want to be able to have a society where there is a balance. Once for many years, that history has been suppressed. It's right to give it a space to be expressed. Because if you don't, then you continue to are suppressing it. So that's why it's important to have month of Black History celebration. Two, you're talking about ignorance and people not knowing. Exactly, they not know because they haven't been informed. So if you read, look at books, if you look at the movies, it's only recently then you start seeing individuals from the different color skin, different from the white, being playing major roles. In the movies of 1970s, every Black person was playing, they were dying first.
It was really, you laugh, but you're right.
No, that's
back,
right.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. And the role they were playing was the same. And if you looked at the billboard, they're either cleaners, janitorials, or pushing the trolleys. They're never the CEOs.
And their name would always be the bottom one, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But now it's time to readdress. That's why this year it's reimagining our history. So we reimagining, recreating that image.
That's really powerful. Thanks, Jebo. Because I've got to admit, I'm not saying I agree with them, but I get the question, well, why isn't there a White History Month? Well, every month's White History Month. It doesn't need celebrating. It doesn't need educating. It doesn't need, well, it probably does need a bit of educating, but you know what I mean? So that's really interesting.
The conversation continues shortly. But first, the 60-second charity pitch.
Hi, I'm Jackie from the Alice Cross Centre, a vibrant, warm welcome community centre in Tynmouth with activities and events for all ages, from a memory cafe for people with dementia to a wonderful youth choir. We run some vital support services to help with the cost of living crisis, affordable food and alleviating social isolation, including a meal delivery service for over 60s, where it is free for people on a low income, a community cafe on a donate what you you can basis and a grief support group. We have loads of fun activities like fitness classes and social events. So if you are in Tynmouth, pop in for a cuppa and say hello. I'd love to show you around and I look forward to meeting you. Thank you.
Follow Devon Chamber on X @chamber_Devon and search for us on LinkedIn. Make sure you don't miss out on future episodes. Hit subscribe now. In Conversation With, supported by Westcott's Chartered Accountants and Business Advisors. Now, back to the conversation.
So just before we come back to the riots and sort of finish on that, what's going on with Black History Month? I've seen a bus.
Yes.
I've seen a picture of you with a bus. What's that all about?
Tell me what else is going on. And this is a history making because, as I say, we always look at the what's of the past, but also building the future. And having a double-decker bus wrapped saying Black History Plymouth, by saying celebrating the diverse communities. We were emphasizing on that celebration. We want people to be celebrated. We want to be acknowledged. We are having the people to have that conversation about it. It's the same thing when you're doing the marketing or when you do the promotion. That is a way of talking to individual unconsciously. So when you see that bus passing, the conversation will start to say, why do we need Black History? Then someone will give the right information. We have Jack Leslie on that bus. Many people don't know about the story about Black Jack Leslie, but that's a big statue of him in front of Argyle. That's Argyle, Plymouth Argyle, in the spotlight for the positive things because he was refused the captaincy to play for England because he was black, but he was playing for Plymouth Argyle. So that says Plymouth Argyle was not racist, while nationally he was racist.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see, that's a massive difference.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I feel like, oh, Plymouth is a welcoming place. But many people don't know that story.
No, we had a black mayor as well.
Yes, Miller, father and son. They are the one who built the Tinside Lido.
Did they?
Yes. In 1945, he evacuated people in the city centre. If you leave that church, which has been bombarded, he evacuated people from the city centre because he knew he used to be in the RAF before he became a politician. He knew that time the plane would have. They didn't have this technology of today of pinpointing to the exact where they're going to bomb. All they were looking for was taller buildings.
Right.
And he saw the tallest building was the one in the city centre. So he knew the bomb going to be falling in there. So he evacuated the city without asking London.
Right.
He took the initiative. He went to those business doors, knock on the door, borrowed lorries, put people on, get out of the city, get out of the city. He did that. But he was reprimanded by London again for doing that with asking permission. While he was being reprimanded, the bomb happened. And they were like, oh, I think you were right. So let us keep it that down. Let's not talk about it. Never talked about it.
Mm.
It never been mentioned. If you go in schools here, for those who study here in Devon or in Plymouth, and they've never been taught that story. So that's how we're retelling the story, the true story, because he's a hero. He saved people's life.
That's fascinating, Jabba. So you have completely and very eloquently explained why we need Black History Month. Is this somewhere people can find out more what's going on?
Yes.
How do we get involved? How do we go and see things and educate ourselves?
I think the first one is that curiosity. So if you want to know the history, if you want to know about the black people, ask people with knowledge. So curiosity, be curious.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. Two, there are many places, and one of them is the biggest, one of the, when you want to learn history, museum. We have the box.
And is it properly represented in there?
With years, we've been changing. We just finished a big exhibition of the reclaiming of the black figures. It was beautiful. They just finished it last week. But there's still representation. You can learn a lot from there. But also we have online, you can check on our DBI website or you can check on blackhistoryplymouth.co.uk. You'll find the history. There's also free materials you can download there. What movie you want to watch to educate yourself and so forth and so on. But overall, just be a human being. Don't belittle another person because of either their color or they're taller or shorter than you, they're male or female, their sexual orientation. Don't.
Absolutely. So I just want to touch on, before we finish, the riots.
Yes.
And what was your experience of that? I mean, people must have been terrified.
Yes, they were. But it was more the emotional damage than the physical damage. Physically, you know, there won't be much of that physical damage because you have the police, you have many system in place to protect people physically. So if you get assaulted or anything, the police will act upon it. But it's the emotional damage someone wants to be discriminated, it has a massive emotion on you. When you have start thinking, is this the right place for my children to grow up? Mm. Because I moved here because I was looking for safety, and my children, now they were born here, they grown up, and suddenly I'm start worrying. And if I can be verbally insulted, how about what's happening on the playground? So all those things play in your mind. Mm-hmm. Those are the hard stuff. So there has been a lot of emotional challenge.
And you've dealt with businesses that have been affected by this as well?
Yep. Some businesses have closed and gone back to places where there are more black people so they can be with them and feeling more supported. But it's still, it was a big challenge. It has been and it still is.
Well, it's very sad because, as you said earlier, Plymouth actually prides itself on being welcoming. And I think a lot of these people weren't actually from Plymouth, were they? Which is sad.
No, and those are from Plymouth. Most people did not stand up and saying, no, we are not like that. Because they didn't have the history. They didn't have one something to be proud of. Mm. But once we're creating more of these activities and you'll be proud of, then you have something to stand for. Yeah. You're like, no, Plymouth, we're not like this. Look, we have ABCD. We have Jackalese. We have Jimmy Peter. We have Millers. We have so-and-so.
So we're proud to have black people in our community.
Yeah, and this is what they've done. But you cannot just be proud without seeing what they've achieved. And you see that, or you enjoy it, or you participate, you discover, oh, I've tried their food, it's different. I love the music, I love the way they dress, I'm part of that.
One of your colleagues was very saddened by the riot and wrote a poem about the riots and how it felt. Mm. Would you mind reading that to us? Because it's a very powerful piece.
So this is our friend award-winning author.
Is this Stephen?
Stephen Ajay.
Yeah.
Yes. But also he's also a pharmacist. He does many talents.
Yes. He is a man of many talents.
And his pharmacy is always, there is a long queue because he's the one serving. He serves with the heart. If you walk with him on the street of Plymouth, he knows everyone. And so he wrote this poem just after that because the daughter was at the bus stop. And she said to dad, I'm afraid I don't know how I'm going to get home. And that hit really hard on him. So he wrote this poem called Ousted. He says, it's dark. The drums beat to the rhythm of fear. People bar the windows and the doors of their homes and their hearts. It's dark. The drums of bullies ring through the streets, awakening the spirit of fear and grief, resurrecting the pain we thought had died long, long, long ago. Have I seen this before? I ask. As my son cowers in the dark, as ghosts parade the street, as we are transported in time to when white was white and black was black. We cower in fear as darkness invades our streets, and once again, the darkness of our skin takes center stage. As the drums beat the rhythm of fear. Once again, we bar our windows, close our doors, as the abuse rips our heart and the illusion of a community disappears further into the dark. Is unity a dream beyond the stars? Do we live again in times past? And even though fear still reigns, we still choose to believe and we still refuse to grieve. Even though, yes, the clouds still look dark.
Jabba, that's really beautiful. And please thank Stephen for that. It's a very somber, very powerful. I know you read that at a dinner I was at with you, and it meant a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't want to end on such a negative. Do you think we've come a long way? I mean, I know Barack Obama talks about the arc of history being long. He said, so don't look at single events and then feel you've gone totally back to the beginning. Start, you know, as long as the general trajectory is up, that's what you must concentrate on. Do you think the general trajectory for inclusion and acceptance is up?
It is. I believe in that. And I say I always look at the cup as half full. If today I've done a positive impact, like what we've done, we've achieved, like the Black History we do, the BME Gala we do, the Double Decker Bus on the street, I'm paving for the future. I see that progress. And again, we go with the heart of celebrating. You have so many people who are so proud of standing who they are and where they are. And they're like, appreciate every time. So that conflict in the heart does not hurt directly as the way Steve finished it. We still have that hope, and the sun will rise again. No matter how long the night is, the sun always rises up. And it's when the sun rises up, are you rising up with it? That's the most important.
So, Jabba, you came to Plymouth 10 years ago. I can honestly say Plymouth is better for you, so please don't
go
yourself. I know you are massively loved and appreciated in the city for all the work you do to try and join things up. Every time I speak to you, I go away like thinking I've really learned something, and I've hopefully improved a bit as a person. So thank you so much for sharing your story. Thank you for talking about Black History Month, and thank you for all you do for the city, Jabba.
It's a great pleasure, and for the next 10 years. Thank you.
You've been listening to In Conversation With, supported by Westcott's Chartered Accountants and Business Advisors, a personal and local service that values relationships above all else. Westcott's, we're here. Produced by Fresh Air Studios, full audio and video production services for business podcasts and corporate events. Visit freshairstudios.com. Presented by Stuart Elford. Produced by Paul Philpott. Edited and mixed by Martin Burgess Moon. Video production by Mark Stevenson. Production support by Lisa Hartwell. Copyright Devon Chamber and Fresh Air Studios Limited. All rights reserved.